We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. I don't know that I would share things with you that you don't necessarily know, but sort of remind you of things, or just to recall and reinforce things that you already know. The Holy Spirit is more active in our lives than I think we admit sometimes, and I thought it'd be a good idea to maybe touch on it again. Ranchers in West Texas make it their practice to round up all their year-old calves each spring for branding. The calf is held down, the branding iron is heated red hot, and the brand is placed on its flank. The brand is the rancher's mark of ownership. No one can dispute the calf belongs to him. In the same way, God has placed his mark of ownership on us by the sealing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's mark of ownership, authority, and security over us. No one can remove us from his ownership until the day of redemption. And that's what I want to open with this morning as we look at the subject of the Holy Spirit. In John 16:7, which is part of our text, and I'm not going to go through all of that, but this is one of the verses that I chose. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth is to your advantage that I go away. This is the words of Jesus. This is part of the upper room discourse where Jesus is in the upper room the night before he is taken to be crucified. And he says, it's your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus told his disciples all about that. He says that if he doesn't go, this Comforter, this Counselor, this Helper, as referred to in this text, will not come to them, but when he, Christ, goes, he will send this Helper. Who's this Helper? This Helper spoken of here is a reference to the Holy Spirit. There are a number of names for the Holy Spirit in Scripture. Many of them are familiar to us. We use them interchangeably. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jehovah, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord, Comforter, Counselor, Helper. There's just a long list of names for the Holy Spirit. They all refer to the same thing. And he is involved in our lives in a number of different ways. He justifies us, sanctifies us, regenerates us, equips us, he empowers us, he enables us, and all again, so much more. He does all of this and more as the Holy Spirit interacts or influences our lives. And from time to time throughout this message, you'll hear me refer to the Holy Spirit as he. Or the Godhead has he. That is very clear in Scripture that the Godhead is a male gender. Now, there have been attempts recent years to change that. But that is incorrect. And if anybody asked you that, I'm not telling you to get into an argument with anybody. But the Godhead is always referred to in Scripture as he. So after the introduction, who is this Holy Spirit? As we said with the children, he's the third person of the Trinity. We worship a triune God. He is three separate, distinct individuals at the same time. That's easy to say. That's difficult to explain. And I'm not sure that I'd be the one to do it. But he is three distinct individuals. We know about God the Father. We know about Jesus Christ, his Son. And then again, we know about the Holy Spirit. And we know from Genesis 1, this is one of the earliest references. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Notice the plural pronoun there. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over and on. So that's one of the earliest references to Christ. And then the Holy Spirit because of all of them. Christ We don't talk about it a lot. He is referred to as the God-man. He was God. He was divine as he walked on earth, and he was man. He had physical attributes. He experienced physical things like hunger and thirst just like we do. He experienced pain. He wept at the death of Lazarus, and he went to the cross for us. What's interesting is that sometimes there was a dispute about who Christ was. He makes reference to it in John 10:30. I and my Father are one. He says it right out. He claims his divinity right then and there. But the third person of the Godhead, this Holy Spirit, how would we describe him? He is the same as, and he is equal to God the Father and God the Son. But he has a different role. And I think we need to keep that in mind. He has a different assignment. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. He is sent by them, and the Father and the Son operate through him. And today we're going to look at a little bit on how the Holy Spirit works. One of the first references is Genesis 1:2. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, another word, another phrase for the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit has been active throughout history. And an Old Testament example is very familiar. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Who's that referred to? Any takers? Samson. All right? The Holy Spirit working through Samson. That's a reference to Samson when the Holy Spirit came upon him and gave him great strength. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would temporarily empower believers to accomplish a specific task, such as this case. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit continues his work. He was active in the birth of Christ. And this is a familiar text. We read this at Christmas. You know, the angel comes to Mary. And Mary, you know, says, how can this be how can she have a child since she's never known a man? And the angel explains, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born shall be called the Son of God. The work of the Holy Spirit was active in the birth of Christ. Now one of the first acts of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is to bring conviction to them. What does that mean? Before we're saved, before we know the Lord, we're lost. We're lost in our sins. And the Holy Spirit will act upon us, even though we may not have any idea, any comprehension of where our state is in life is. And the Holy Spirit brings conviction to us and helps us to realize that, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I need a Savior. The Holy Spirit does that. And many times we talk about when we witness, you know, well, we don't see results. We rely on the Spirit to do that. We sow the seed, but the Holy Spirit brings the results and works on the individual. It's the Holy Spirit who exposes our guilt, and we see that in John 16. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Tells us that when he comes, he will convict the world, not just us, concerning sin. So the Holy Spirit exposes our guilt before conversion, after conversion. After we know the Lord, the Holy Spirit lives within us. The same Holy Spirit continues to bring conviction. As we grow in Christ, the Spirit continues to convict us sometimes of things we need to do, changes that we need to make in our lives. And in my life, you might find this hard to believe. I've actually gone to Deb sometimes and said, I was wrong, I was sorry. I know that's hard for some of you, but I actually did that already. And it was the Holy Spirit who convicted me to do that. I didn't have a peace, and we'll talk about that a little bit too. It was the Spirit that convicted me. David says in Psalm 38, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. David experienced conviction from the Holy Spirit, and he also experienced forgiveness from the Lord God. The point is, if we are open to it, the Holy Spirit will continue to bring conviction in areas of our lives that we need to change. How many times have you said, or has somebody said, I don't do that anymore? Now, that could be anything, you know. I don't do that anymore. Or you may hear someone say, you know, oh, that's something I should start to do. I should start to have daily devotions. I should start to work with my children a little more. So it's just a whole host of things that the Holy Spirit will convict. Maybe there's something you ought to be doing in your life. Or maybe there's something you shouldn't be doing. The Holy Spirit convicts us to act on that. Now, after conversion, the same Holy Spirit indwells and assures us. I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, another reference, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him, male gender, or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. These are the words of Jesus again. He's talking to his disciples. He's promising them the Spirit of truth lives with them, and he will be with them. And if you notice the word abide, it means to live within. A Spirit will abide with them. There's another reference I just kind of stuck in there. These are the words of John the Baptist. These are familiar. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, obviously, that's a reference to the baptism of Christ. But he makes reference to the Holy Spirit, how we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 is another reference that we use sometimes. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. Again, the Holy Spirit comes from Christ, will dwell within us, and will give us power. Those are just a couple of attributes. And all of these things were promised to believers, and that's critical. You know, God doesn't promise the Holy Spirit to unbelievers, but just to believers specifically. The Holy Spirit not only dwells within us, he is a source of assurance. And we get that from Galatians. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Because we know God's Son, Jesus, his Spirit is in our hearts. And we have assurance that we are joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs to what Christ is going to receive. We are going to share in that when we go to our reward. Now, another reference is Romans 8. And if children, another reference to heirs, then heirs, heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, then we may also be glorified with him. All right, another reference to how we are, share with Christ in the inheritance. So the Spirit indwells with us. The Spirit assures us of different things. Now, another function of the Holy Spirit is teacher. We get this from John 14, 26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Jesus had just spent 3 years with the disciples, and they had been through a lot together. There's no doubt about it. These disciples had witnessed all sorts of miracles. Later on, they even did some of those miracles themselves. They sat under the most qualified teacher in history, and as Christ prepares them for his departure, for his death, he tells them two things. This helper, this Holy Spirit, will teach you all things. It means to give understanding. So they understand really what Christ said to all the things that Christ had taught them. Many times after Jesus taught the disciples, we know from the New Testament, he might have taught them a spiritual truth, and they weren't always clear. And they would have questions from time to time. And they would ask Jesus. An example is found in Matthew 18. Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. They heard it just like the crowd. They heard Jesus tell them the parable, but they weren't quite sure of what it meant. And if you read that text further, Christ does explain it to them. Now he's leaving. But this helper, this counselor will come, and this counselor, this Holy Spirit, will become the teacher, and he will be the one who makes things clear. Have you ever read a text over and over, and it never makes any sense? And just like that, you read it one time, and oh yeah, aha, now I get it. Now I see what it said. You might have read it for years, and it's like, I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. I'm guessing, more than likely, it was the Holy Spirit who opened new meaning to you and enabled you to understand that. As teacher, the Holy Spirit helps define all of these lessons of life to us. Now, he not only gives understanding, but he helps us to remember different texts as well. Ever try to explain a biblical concept, and just like that, the verses come to you? You're like, where'd that come from? You're trying to explain something to somebody, and you don't have the right words. And just like that, things come to you. More than likely, it's the Holy Spirit bringing things to remembrance for you. So the Holy Spirit can bring different things to us when the opportunity presents itself. Mark 13 says this, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand. Don't premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will use you and will speak through you as to different things. If we know and study God's word, the Holy Spirit will help us to understand it. He will help us to remember it. Lastly, the Holy Spirit comforts us. John 14, 16. I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Now, that doesn't have comfort in it, but bear with me, okay? This counselor, this comforter will come from Jesus. As comforter, it is like one being called aside to the side of another. And the purpose is to help in any way possible. It's a picture of a friend called to help a person who is troubled or distressed or even confused. Many of us have experienced this kind of comfort. I'm telling you this, 2 years ago, Deb was coming out of chemo, and I was immediately after that going into surgery, and it was the Holy Spirit, different times, who brought us comfort in different ways. And we looked at, you know, and we said, the Holy Spirit reminded us, God is sovereign. He's in control of the situation. He knew none of this was a surprise to him. He reminded us of that because we sort of wondered about that. So he's in control. The Holy Spirit brought that to mind. Many of you participated in that with words of encouragement, with cards. I mean, we got meals, we got all kinds of. It was incredible the way this congregation shared its love with us in different ways. I believe the Holy Spirit played a part in that as well. You extended your love, your prayers, your comfort to us when we needed it the most, and we thank you for that. And we tried to share that comfort with others as well. 2 Corinthians, this might be one you were thinking of. Now, the beginning of verse 1 or verse 3 talks, blessed the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves were comforted. It's talking about giving and receiving. You receive comfort in different ways. You share that with others. That's what that's talking about. You don't hold it in. You share that. Share the way you experienced it. Here's an added benefit. The peace of God. We talk about the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, when you get to the hard places of life, here's a text you lean on. The peace of God. And you need that at different times when you get to the hard places at night. Many, many times we don't know what to think or how to react to a tragedy. It's the Holy Spirit who comes alongside us and brings us peace. I'm guessing many of you have experienced that over the years. Have you ever been in a situation where you did not know what to pray for? I have. There were so many options. We didn't know what to ask for. And here's a familiar one. Romans. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses when we don't know what to pray for. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. If you're in a situation, you might not know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit does. And that's one of the ways he interacts with us that we may not even be aware of. When we are weak and broken, the Holy Spirit steps in and intercedes for us. Now, those and others are just a few of the many acts of the Holy Spirit. And that's not to mention spiritual gifts, the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians, and all sorts of other things. The Spirit infills us, reveals new truth to us, renews us day by day, protects us against false teachers, and there's plenty of them out there, and so much more. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just happen upon us. He doesn't just show up at our doorstep one day and say, here I am. The Holy Spirit comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is when we know him that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Holy Spirit is working in the lives of individuals even today, and he can bring us to the knowledge of the truth, and that truth is Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit that comes to each and every one of us who claim the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for how he indwells within us. We thank you for how he enables us. He empowers us. He helps us to remember. He intercedes for us in so many ways. Lord, we thank you and we claim those promises. And our prayer is that as we continue in our walk with you, that we might be more conscious of how the Spirit works in our lives and use that to our advantage. Father, just go with us, and as the Holy Spirit indwells in us, may we have a new realization that he is there for us. And we pray these things through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.